First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13 of First Thessalonians. Last week, we studied about the leadership. This time, we are going to study about the, what kinds of divine resource they are allowed to have from God for this people of the Thessalonica, and how, even though they were short time trained, they were doing very well. Why they were doing very well, we're gonna find out. However, they have a growing pain within the church. So let's start. It's not easy to be a Christian in the United States. With the temptations and the resistance around us, it's not easy. And, of course, certainly it was not easy for the people in the Thessalonica to be a Christian because they had a physical suffering and physical persecution and spiritual persecution against them. Yet in the midst of the suffering, these precious people experienced joy that turned into their strength, because joy in the Lord become their strength. And to endure the persecution against them and the suffering against them. Paul certainly was a burden for these people in the Thessalonica who were going through the suffering. Yet, he also had a joy because he knew that these people were doing well in the midst of suffering. It was fulfillment of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ's promise toward people. Let's keep your finger right there. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have a tribulation. That is a promise. Jesus does not say you might have a tribulation. He said you will have a tribulation. But be of a good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, all the church is going through this growing pain. Certainly our church is no exception. We go through this growing pain too. As we seek to win the lost, and as we try to live godly life, we become the target of the persecution one way or another. We may not experience the political and the physical violence and the persecution like these people did, but we anticipate that kind of thing. And they have a resource, divine resource that was provided to them by God. And we are going to tap into that thing. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, it is our desire to know you more. Human writing does not give us a spiritual life, but your writing, your word, the Bible, give us spiritual life. Give us joy, give us a strength, give us peace that passes all men's understanding. These precious people in Thessalonica understood that. They were not perfect by any means, but let us learn from your word what they received from you, so that we may be more like Jesus, less like ourselves. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13 of chapter 2, back to the First Thessalonians. Also, this is why we constantly thank God, because when you received, on the line received, please, the message about God, and you heard from us, so you welcomed it, on the line welcomed it, not as a human message, but as it truly is a message of God, which also worked effectively in you believers. Note that it's not human message, it's a God's message of God. How grateful for Apostle Paul is that these people not only listened to the message he gave to them when he was there for 3 to 5 weeks, short time, while he was establishing the church, And they also welcomed his message into their heart. See, I ask you on the line to receive and welcome. A lot of people hear the message. When they come to church, they sit and listen. They may not agree, and they may even reject. By the time they leave the church, they have a choice to follow God or not follow God. If the message was given by God through the preacher, as it is, they have a choice. When they reject the message from the preacher, and it was done in according to the Bible, they are rejecting God's voice. So each of you, when you leave the Sunday morning and when you leave Thursday night, you have a choice. So far, I have been stoned by you guys because I taught you with any heresies. That means you were given a choice. You're supposed to follow what you're told to do. Not by man, but by word of God. Word of human being, however, wise in substance, can be eloquent in expression. But as I said before, it does not give a spiritual life. But the word of God is a different thing. Word of God gives literally changing people's attitude, changing people's character. It gives spiritual life to the people and bear fruit. Word of God can give life to the dead and hope to the despair and joy to the sorrowful. And also gives a love to the unlovable. It makes difference if we let them. That's the key. If we let it happen. Thessalonian people, the church of Thessalonian at Thessalonica is made out of the Jews, God-fearing Greek, and the pagan people. They are all conglomerated and joined together as a church. And they are seeking word of God because they received message of God from Apostle Paul. Again, received and welcomed. They were not just listening, but they were welcoming into their lives. What does it mean? They apply into their lives. When the people apply the word of God into their lives, all of a sudden their lifestyle gets changed. We all heard of this story. We are not supposed to clean the fish before we catch them. Right? Some of you guys are fishermen, anglers, you know what I'm talking about. You're not supposed to clean the fish before you catch them. You catch them and then you clean them. It is not our job to clean the fish. Don't try to make the people to come to God before they come to God, and then you tell them, you got to clean up your life, otherwise you cannot come to Christ. Were we that way? Were we cleaned before we come to Christ? No. Jesus took us as we were. Then he cleaned us. Let's not forget where we came from. From the pit. I found the two things about the Word of God. Number one is,
what was that?
The word that saves us enables us. The same word gives us salvation, enables us to do the things what is necessary. This word can not only give us the salvation message and give us the wisdom and the strength to do what is necessary to be done as a Christian. The way the Christian treat the Bible, I can pretty much tell how that what that person is like as a Christian. If that person treat the Bible like this, and okay, go home and toss it in the coffee table, and the next time when they go to church, pick it up and come to church, that person is going through hunger. Because that person does not go through the Bible. When that person does not have a daily devotion, that person is a little spiritually hungry, starving. I hope none of you are like that. I hope you do have a daily devotion, and I hope you do have a daily prayer with God. Otherwise, it's no good. As I said before, we are willing to feed our body. We just had an agape feast. Everybody ate well. Anybody didn't eat well except Mark Trudeau? He had a big plate, yes. Now, all of us are willing to feed our body, but we are not willing to feed our soul. Don't think that it is preacher's job to feed you guys. I'm going to gross you out a little bit. Yeah. If you come, listen carefully. If you come to church and only you get the food from what I teach, it's the same thing as what, think about it this way. Somebody chew the food and put it in your mouth. That's the same thing. They already got the nutrition while they're chewing. Yes, you get something because you put the food in your stomach. But you don't get the taste of it. You don't get anything else. Unless you chew your own spiritual food, you are not getting anything. You are not getting the good things. See, there's a similarity between essentialist exact. Let me go back. Jesus and the written word, the Bible. Jesus is a living word, correct? Bible is a written word. They all call the same way. Bread of life, light of the world, and the truth. Holy Spirit gave a birth to Jesus through the holy woman. Holy Spirit gave a birth to the Bible through the holy man. 66 books. Second point I'd like to bring it to you is the Word of God that gets applied in our lives enriches us. The Word of God that gets applied in our lives enriches us. Christian Church of Thessalonica is the case in point. They obey the Word and they apply what they learned, the Word, into their lives. That's why their lives have been changed. The pagan people got changed, became born-again Christian. And polytheistic, the Greek people, become a Christian. And Judaizer became a Christian. Why? Because they applied this Word into their lives. We must apply the Word of God into our lives and let us not be a just hearer, but let us be a doer, as the James says. Many people are careless listener, careless hearer. They come to church and listen and leave. More and more church turning into a seeker-sensitive church, more and more church become, they prefer to have theatrical presentation or some Sunday morning stand-up comic than pure word. And they said, well, the preacher is not funny. So I'm not going to go to that church. If that's the case, stay home, watch cable TV. You can laugh your head off until your gut's hurting. It's the same thing. If you're not going to get the Word of God, then why bother come to church? I heard one church, this is a mammoth church in somewhere in the Middle East. It requires about 300 people to put the service together because it requires a presentation. Light, sound, multimedia, all of that. And then people go out, walk out the door, still hungry because the Word of God is missing. Nowadays, people want to hear more and more to tickle their ears, itching ears. Instead of pure water, pure word. If that's not bad enough, we have opposite side who fight against the Word of God. They will do everything within their power to discredit the Word of God. This is something I found recently. It actually showed up in the www.livescience.com, April 4th edition. not some in the middle. Jesus could have walked on ice, scientist says. I'm going to read the excerpt from there. This is the scientist said. You know, smart people, really smart people. Rare condition could have conspired to create a hard-to-see ice on the Sea of Galilee that the person could have walked on back when Jesus is said to have walked on the water, scientists said today. The study, which examined the combination of favorable water and environmental condition, proposed that Jesus could have walked on the isolated patch of a floating ice on what is now known as Lake Kinneret. In northern Israel, such floating ice is unfrozen in the unfrozen water in the, of the lake would be hard to spot, especially if rain had smoothed its surface. Okay, let's since they are so smart people, this floating ice, Jesus was coming down from the he was in the mountain all in the morning and he was praying all night long and he saw, remember Mark chapter 6. He saw the disciple was straining and doing what? Rowing, right? Yeah, exactly. Since, let's say, Jesus was walking on this one of these ice. If that's the case, they're rowing on top of the ice. No wonder why they're straining. As a matter of fact, I don't think they could even hold themselves up because their boat was like this. It was not flat bottom. That means in one way or another, it's going to tilt some direction, right? So disciples were doing greater miracle than Jesus himself. However, there is another miracle that happened. It is Peter who saw Jesus walking on water. And he said, if it is you, let me come. And he said, come. So he stepped out of the boat. Of course, where would he stand on? On ice, right? So he started to walk on ice. This is a fisherman who knows water. He walked on ice and he started to look around, chapter 11, Matthew. And he saw the wind and waves. It must be not, that portion must not have the ice. And he saw them and all of a sudden his eyes, out of blue, had a hole. He started to sink. Oh, and then Jesus, being almighty God, he came over, pulled him out of the ice water. Now, think with me. If you're a normal person who is a thinking person, and you try to rescue a person who is, because the ice gave away, you don't stand and try to pull that person up because your weight goes all the way down here. You lay down flat on your eyes and pull that person up. That means you have to spread your weight as much as you can so you don't crack the ice. That's a logical thinking, isn't it? So in my humble, stupid opinion, this scientist has more faith in their stupidity than what I have as a faith in the Bible. Yeah, PhD, exactly. PhD stands for? Piled high and deep. Thank you. Let's go back to verse 14. Do you have a PhD? Oh, no. Not after that, he's going to say, oh, yeah, I have a PhD. Verse 14. For you, brother, became an imitator of God's church in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, since you have also suffered the same things from the people of your own country, just as they did from the Jews. They killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophet and persecuted us. They displease God and are hostile to everyone, hindering us from speaking to the Gentile so that they may be saved. Underline next phrase, please. As a result, they are always adding to the number of their sins, and wrath has overtaken them completely. There are many, many differences among the Christians around the world, but one thing is common, is suffering. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Some of you guys know this by heart. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. If you find chapter 10, you and I in the Philippines. Chapter 3, verse 10. Apostle Paul speaking again. That I may know him and the power of resurrection. So far, so good. It sounds awful nice. Having a power of resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. But next one is a different. The fellowship of suffering. Fellowship of his sufferings. And being comforted to his death. And some of you are thinking, that's not why I signed up for Christianity. I don't want a suffering. Neither do I. But that is a common denominator. As long as we follow Jesus Christ, as long as we do the godly living, that goes against the grain of this world. And they will reject. Personally, Apostle Paul felt close bond with himself and Thessalonians because they all shared a common enemy, Satan. And eventually God will conquer them, of course we know, but not at this time. With this word, he encouraged them and then comforted them and continued standing firm. The longer I walk with Christ, I'm finding out one thing. Those who are going through the difficulty and sufferings, they tend to have, let me word this very carefully so I don't sounds like I'm bashing that person. If that person is going through suffering, somehow that person thinks that everything is happening to that person alone and nobody else is going through a difficult time. Life is difficult in general. We all go through the difficulty, such as sickness, pain, and the loss of the loved one. How many of you guys who has a loss of loved one recently? Many of you will raise hand. I did too. My mother died in July last year. And some of you might have sickness. Might even incurable. And some of you guys go through a difficult time financially or marital problem. Whatever that is, you are not the only one. And a lot of times, listen carefully, a lot of times when they go through that kind of difficult time, they tend to isolate themselves. They tend to walk away from this book. Well, that is the time when we should run to this book. That is a time when we should hang around with the brothers and sisters in Christ. I guarantee you, if you ask opinion to Dear Annie or Dr. Phil or whatever, Dr. Laura, you wouldn't get nothing more than worldly wisdom, which is nothing much at all. But if you come to the book, Bible, you get the peace that passes all men's understanding, and you'll be comforted by somebody who went through that kind of problem and who was comforted by God himself. So it's best for you to come to the Word and come to the fellowship of brothers and sisters. Verse 16, let's go back to the verse 16 of chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, as, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but the wrath has come upon them to uttermost. This is kind of a frightening verse, in my opinion. God allows, God permits the sin to run in the full course. When the person deny God and deny his deity, and the person continues to do commit the sin against God, God allowed that person to go in the full course. And that while that person is going the full course, they stack up their own sin higher and higher and higher until to the point judgment is inevitable. And once that happened, and there's no turning around. While God is allowing the sin to run in the full course, He is still giving them mercy. How many of you guys remember Jeffrey Dahmer? How many of you guys remember the, what's that guy's name? Timothy McVeigh. And what was the another serial killer? Ted Bundy, thank you. I don't know about the Timothy McVeigh, but Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, I was told that they will receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior while they were in the prison. So somebody asked me, what would happen if Adolf Hitler repented at the last moment before he blew his brain out? He come to Christ. Would he go to heaven? 1,000 times, yes. How can it be? What about justice? But what about mercy of God? Mercy of God overrides anything. As long as that person truly come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, there's nothing stops. Mercy of God. Remember the song we just sang, how deep the Father's love had for us. There was, some of you guys have read that today's Daily Bread. That was a good one. There was a Roman soldier who was whipping Christ. This man had a dream. And so this man tried to stop that Roman soldier who was whipping the Christ, the back of Christ. And when he stopped the Roman soldier, he looked at the Roman soldier's face. It was his face. It was not somebody else's sin that nailed him on the cross. It was your sin. It was my sin. For our miserable souls, he died for us. Let's go back to verse 17. But as for us, brothers, after we were forced to leave you for a short time in person, not in heart, we greatly desired and made every effort to return and see you face to face. So we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again. But Satan, on the line, hindered us. Please. For who is our hope or joy or crown of boasting in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Apostle Paul is not ashamed of a state that his affection for these people in Thessalonica. Since he is the spiritual father and mother, he is the one who brought these people into the spiritual life. And so he liked to be there with them, and he was going to make every effort to be there with them. Of course, you guys know, some of you have children in the distance. When you hear that your children is sick or simply just being away from home, you want to be with them. That is common thing. That is in love. The parents has. Apostle Paul is going through that kind of thing. See, this word, he said every effort possible. That's the same word that Jesus used. He was trying to be with his own disciple before his death. Same kinds of love. I asked you on the line hinder. That in Greek word originally used for the breaking up the road to render it impassable. Or in impassable, or that it was also used in the athletic sense, the cutting ones, someone's during this race. So if there is a road and somebody's making that road impassable, next to impossible to use that road. So hindering that person bad. And he was committed to fight against the roadblock anywhere possibly he can. He was not allowed to go to Thessalonica. So what did he do? He wrote a letter. Since he cannot be there in person, he wrote a letter. most of Bible scholars agree that this First Thessalonians is the earliest epistle Apostle Paul wrote. What the devil did not know was he started to write a letter more often. He sent a letter to Romans. He sent a letter to Ephesians and Ephesus. And he sent a letter to the Colossians and many other letters. Two letters to the Timothy, his own spiritual son. Because of his letters, the word of God is going out farther than he realized. Epistle means open letter. Not just the Philippian people receiving the letter, not just the people in Thessalonica receiving the letter. When they finish reading, guess what they do? They pass it to the next town. All of a sudden, Satan realized that he was doing a favor to Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul eventually visited Thessalonica according to Acts chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. So he made it happen. Again, Apostle Paul could have focused on his problem. Self-pity, and he cannot be there. And woe is me, you know, we EO attitude. Nobody loves me, that attitude. But instead of that, he was focusing on the different things. What did he focus on? Let's go back to the verse 19 and 20. Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. To Apostle Paul, these people in the Thessalonica is a pride and joy. They are spiritual sons and daughters. Of course, he would be proud of them because they are following God. And knowing that when the Jesus comes, he will stand with these people side by side and presenting them, Lord, this is my children. Especially when your children is doing well, there's nothing like a mom and dad pulling their suspender, if they have a suspender, pulling out as far as they can pull out. That's what this Apostle Paul is doing. If there is a spiritual suspender, he is pulling out as far as he can. Okay. My greatest desire for our church is not becoming the biggest church in America. Who wants that headache? I don't. God willing, hope that our church grows. But there's something I want more than anything else. I would give up just about anything for that. You guys, our congregation, grow deeply in love with Jesus Christ. And through this word, become a strong servant of God, serving him. And spreading the word with a fervent zeal. Remember our church's motto, knowing Jesus and making him known. Let's make applications. Number one, to Christian, heaven should not be a final goal, but motivation to live godly living, to bring glory to the Father in heaven, to introduce Jesus as a Savior and Lord to the lost. Remember, heaven should not be just a goal. It should be motivation. Second application, the joy of greeting believers in heaven also bring it to a solemn warning. We will lose joy if we go to heaven empty-handed. Remember what I said before? What's better than going to heaven? What's better than going to heaven? Taking somebody with you. You may say, well, I don't know how to evangelize. That's not my job. According to my Bible, according to your Bible, we ought to spread the good news. Go therefore and make all nations, and baptize in the name of the Father. Teach them all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not just preacher's job. It's not elder's job. It's not deacon's job. It's not church ministry leader's job. It's your job, my job. And if you are not trained, if you are afraid to do it, well, climb in, learn. How many of you guys have a church bulletin right now? Any of you? Can you? Thank you. Not this one. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes we run out of space, so the guy who put together that one too. The guy who put together bulletin. A lot of times we have a little thing here. Four spiritual laws. Read it. It's very simple. That's how you talk about Jesus. Actually, one of the best way to do it is explain to other people the last one that what Jesus done in your life. Word of testimony, it does wonders. You don't have to know the Bible that well to bring people to Christ. It's very simple. Tell them about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Let's stand up and pray.